Petheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 65, Mambacho, with our special guest, Claudio Segroy, president and master blender of Mambacho. I'm John, the cigar surgeon. We are heard around the world. We broadcast on the Armed Forces Radio Network, wherever you're stationed in the world. We appreciate you tuning in to our show, and hopefully we're not driving you crazy with drinking and smoking. Hopefully you have a chance to enjoy a cigar, or at least have a good laugh at our antics. If you're listening by podcast, which I'm sure many of you are, give us an up thumbs, up vote, up thumb something arrow, and toss us a comment because we appreciate the love. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and Robbie Raz, who's feeling a little under the weather for this episode.
Hey, man. Yeah, fighting the good fight. At the first homestand of every baseball season, trapped in one room with, you know, like 45 people from a guy who works from home and is usually just around his dogs, I always tend to catch something. First couple, so
petri dishes.
Just a little bit under the weather. I'm disappointed though that I can't drink and smoke with you guys because I love that Liga Maestro, and I mean, Claudio's drinking beer. I love beer, and you're drinking rum. I love rum, so it's I'm missing out, man.
Yeah, what can you do? I mean, the only suggestion I could have is maybe crack open an Islay whiskey and just blast out whatever nastiness is inside of you.
Just sweat it out. Yeah, Just sweat it out. That's what you're supposed to do. I'll get on that.
Very good. But of course, as I said, we're joined by Claudio, who is not only the master blender, but the president. So he's wearing a few hats. Claudio, welcome to Sharing Our Pairings.
Hi, John. Hi, Rob. Hola, grupo. It has been a pleasure the first time to be on the show with you, and tonight we are going to have fun pairing cigars and drinking. As you said, Rob, I have a good beer. You are drinking rum that I'm missing because I'm a big rum guy. But yeah, it's fine. Happy to be here again.
Well, glad to have you on. I know I had a great opportunity to sit down with you and your wife in Miami with Logan. I apologize for Logan, but it was a great experience with you. And I was saying on our last show, it's wonderful having a chance to talk to you in person because you talk tobacco and you talk the whole process, and you can see your passion coming through. So it's very infectious, and it's just one of those things I could listen to you talk about tobacco for ages.
Thanks, John. It's not only the passion; it's the entire life involved in tobacco and creations and making cigars. It is not only blending. We always talk about blends and tobaccos from here and tobacco from there. But now we are going to talk more about taste, that there is such a huge involvement of the taste of blending, that my job should be always taking out my personal taste, but taking all the technical things that we should have in a cigar that are coming from taste, are coming from aromas, and are coming from something that is savory. Because, it's good in these things to make one huge difference between taste, aromas, and other things. I always say something that is savory, when you savor something, because it's the combination of the taste plus the aromas. So the taste works in your mouth, your tongue, your palate. You get stimulations from the four basic tastes. Today we talk about umami, or even a sixth taste, other things, but basically four tastes, okay? And then all the aromas, so they go through your mucosa here, your nose, so you move the smoke, and when you add both, you have something savory. So when you know how to work with your mouth and through your nose, then you get everything you need to get from a beer, from a rum, or from a cigar, or wherever we are pairing.
I think you touched on one of the important factors. I hope I didn't cut you off there, Rob.
No, you didn't.
One of the important factors, I think, that we don't really talk about a lot on Sharing Our Pairings is retrohaling, because your nasal passages, your nasal receptors are going to bring you, like, ultimately, as you're saying, there's really only five or six base tastes that you're getting out of your tongue, and the complexity of, chocolate or cedar or coffee that we talk about, you're not going to get a lot of that unless you're retrohaling. Now, I'm not saying you need to retrohale every puff, but if you're not retrohaling a cigar, you're missing out on a whole myriad of flavors that otherwise are just going to pass you right on by.
You're correct. I agree 100%. And if you want, 50% of my job is on my mouth and 50% is here. Because I got to split whatever is stimulation. So we talk about creaminess, we talk about spiciness, about sourness. If you make a lot of saliva or your mouth dries out. So those are things that I'm working here. But then through this, it's all about the aromas. like, okay, that spiciness is black pepper, white pepper, pink pepper, red pepper, or a purple pepper. I don't know if it's just, but, you know, all those are almost that you can make a difference in the bitterness, for example. Okay, I feel bitterness. So what's that? It's an espresso, or coffee, roasted coffee beans, or it's another kind of bitterness. So you can make that deep differentiation from the taste through the aromas.
Spoken like a master blender. So of course we're smoking the new / old, because it's really not new. And Rob, actually, if you check out CigarFederation.com, if you're watching or listening, check out Rob's review. He went a little nutty on this. I think he gave it a 91 box split, the original red band. But of course, this is the beautiful new black and gold rebanded, I should say, not rebanded. It's the same blend, correct?
It is the same blend. There is some little tweak because on the on the sourcing of new crops, we had to change just a little bit things, but it was more about quantities than the kind of tobaccos. So first, it's always a Nicaraguan puro, so 100% tobaccos from Nicaragua. This beautiful wrapper from Jalapa. We have a binder from Jalapa as well, a feeder, Condega, Jalapa. And we went really deep into the classification of the feeder, because I'm using two kind of viso from the same farm, because I saw that the viso that is like the third prime or the fourth prime was different than the number five. So I knew that the number five had something that didn't have a number four. So I mixed those. Sometimes you just put like two primings on the viso because it's basically kind of the same thing. But this time it went really deep into classification, and it's a beautiful blend. You got more deepness. You got more, I shouldn't say more flavor, but more deepness, you know, more aftertaste, but after time of the taste. Okay, this is not only, okay, the aftertaste, I get this, a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of that. You know, for a very long time, you keep those aromas in the mouth.
Yeah, this is this is a beautiful cigar. I think I actually pulled up my review. John, you are correct. I did give it a 91. And when I smoked it, this was over a year ago, I think.
That was a Petit Corona, right?
The May 26th. Yes, it was the Petite Corona. And I remember this very vividly. I actually have you, when you guys sent me samples, I still have one left. I think it's a Torpedo.
Yeah.
The Pyramid, yeah. And I had just a little bit at the tail end, there was just a little bit of harshness and flavor at the tail end of that cigar.
Mm-hmm.
But I know the first two thirds of that cigar were fantastic. The last third was still really good, and there's that little bit of bitterness at the end. And I'm eager to try the new blend. I haven't had a chance to sit down and smoke one yet, so I'm eager to do that. But no, I really wanted to come on just to talk about the blend, because this was everything that you guys have made so far has really, really hit my palate. And although I haven't had the original Mombacho release, I haven't had that one yet.
The very first Mombacho release, that's back in 2007, I think, the first blend.
Well, the one that just says Mombacho on the band.
Okay. I mean, if you talk about Mombacho and Tierra Volcana at the same blend, change just the name, but you should smoke some Mombacho from 2011 because it was a different blend. And then when I jump on board in the company, we re-blended the entire line. So now are very different than the old ones.
Oh, interesting.
But the Liga Maestro, we tried to get the same blend from the first release back in 2013 that was made just for the Italian market. Mm-hmm. And then it got famous. It was like everyone in the United States said, you should bring this to the United States. So we made a very small pre-release in 2015. And now after 7 months working hard in production to make sure our consistency and everything, we released 3 weeks ago in the United States, in Canada, in Italy, and soon Denmark, Sweden, Australia, and Switzerland. Yeah.
Wow, world domination. I love it.
And, of course, you guys just celebrated your 10th anniversary. A lot of people might not be aware you've been around for 10 years, but 10th anniversary. Congratulations. Might have lost them.
Thank you so much.
There we go.
It is kind of emotional to think that already. I'm back.
Carry on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was saying it's a kind of emotional thing to think that it's already like 10 years doing this with Mombacho, and you know, knowing that now we are in kind of almost 10 countries and people like you guys, you know, enjoying our cigars. That's the best reward thing for me as a master blender, you know, seeing people enjoying this.
Well, I'm more than happy to enjoy this Liga Maestro. I've not had the original one. This is my first that I've had, and I can say that it started out, it almost reminds me of a Cuban coffee in that it's kind of taking me around the flavor map, a little bit of espresso bitterness followed by sweetness, and then underneath that there's like almost like a passion fruit. Like I can't really put my finger on it, but there's just a little zip of fruit to sort of balance it out, and it's phenomenal first start.
That's very interesting. I love that, the passion fruit. And I can tell you why. On the base of my blends, there is always a little bit of sourness, okay? Because when you get the sourness in your mouth, you make saliva. So when you have the saliva, your tongue works properly because it's wet. Remember, Mother Nature made our tongue wet, not dry. We have saliva for one reason, to keep those receptors open and to get more flavor and taste. So the sourness is very, very important. And the fact that you felt the passion fruit is the translation of your brain coming from your tongue saying there is a sourness. And then your nose said, okay, sourness of what? Lemon, it could be, there is many, many things that could be sour. But you picked the passion fruit. That's awesome.
Well, we'll get into an audience question here, Claudio, because we've got quite a few of them before our first break here. And I'm going to go with Mike Hanna because he's at the top of the list here. And Mike wants to know, he says he's a fan of full-bodied cigars, and he wants to know, of the Mombacho portfolio, what would you say is on the more full-bodied end of the spectrum?
First, let's make a huge difference between the strength of the aromas and then the body of the cigar, as we say, or the physiological strength of the cigar. That is not even the nicotine, okay? So when a cigar is powerful, there is some strength in the aromas. If it's like a passion fruit, you feel that very, very strongly, okay? You recognize it's so strong. Then there is the body, which is... if the tobacco is stronger, is mild, is light, our cigars are always balanced with the strength of the aromas. We work a lot more with the aromas and then supported by some strength. Okay, but said this, Liga Maestro goes medium to full body. If you like that feeling of a strong cigar, but all of our cigars are very strong in the aromas, very flavorful, I would say.
And I think that's an important distinction because sometimes, you know, the idea of a full-bodied cigar and a full-strength cigar, strength and body, tend to get, and Rob can certainly talk to this, because we run into this all the time. People kind of confuse strength and body.
Yeah, I don't know if I can shed any light on it, but those are definitely two terms that, excuse me, that are used interchangeably by a lot of people when, frankly, they shouldn't be. Another common mistake is, you know, spice, strength of spice. People confuse that with actual strength of the cigar. But yeah, that's one of those common things that that people tend to point out. But that's one thing that I have noticed about the Mombacho stuff. And Claudia, you said balanced, and over the years, balance has become kind of a sticking point for me with cigars. If it's a really strong cigar, strong in flavor, strong in nicotine content, if it's just strong all around, as long as there's a balance in there, I'll enjoy it. It's a good cigar for me. But it's the cigars that go extreme in one aspect. You know, they're extreme in, you know, they're pepper bombs or they're strength bombs or whatever, or even too sweet. I've had some cigars that are just too sweet where I wish there was a little bit more earthiness or some additional spice in there to kind of balance things out. But balance has become very, very important to me when it comes to enjoying a cigar.
Okay, we got a little secret to the factory. When you smoke one of the Tierra Volcán or one of the Liga Maestro out of the table, it's very, very strong. It is not a mild, it's not a medium, it's a kind of strong cigar. Then we give a 6 month of aging. I think we are the only factory that giving a 6 month at least for every cigar. But that 6 months, a certain temperature and the humidity, the tobacco get refined. So you lose all those things that are like an irritation here, here, or the bad stimulation, or a taste that it shouldn't be there. We lose all those things, even though it was strong, it goes into medium, medium to full, but elegance, you know, that's the key, balance and elegance, even though the tobacco was strong in the very beginning. But that aging process gives a lot more refined aromas and, as you said, the balance. That's the key for me, the balance.
To our audience, if you haven't had a chance to watch the Cigar Chat with Claudio, I highly recommend it. There's a very, very detailed section on their aging room and the depth at which they have the temperature set and the humidity set. And it's if you're a tobacco nerd, if you gravitate towards tobacco nerdism, it's a fantastic listen. I just want to remind our audience, you're tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 65, Mambacho, with our guest Claudio Segroy. And we are broadcast live around the world. I'm John the Cigar Surgeon. Thanks very much for our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners. I've been cheating, Claudio. I've been kind of sipping in some rum while I'm smoking the cigar. So maybe we should give Rob a break here and start talking about our pairings. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
You guys are getting into your pairings. I'm going to get jealous. So I'm going to drop off. But Claudio, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Look forward to seeing you. Wow. And like, what, a month and a half, 2 months in IPCPR? Well, three months, I guess. But look forward to seeing you there. You know, best of luck, and we'll see you pretty soon. Guys, enjoy your pairings, and I'm going to go drink some hot tea or something.
Bye, Rob. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good show.
Bye.
So, Claudia, we talked a little bit offline, and you've gone with some beers for your first. But do you want to talk about your first pairing that you've got lined up here?
Yes. Awesome. This is a Stittsville. It's a Pilsner made brewed in Miami. You know, in Miami right now, there is a big, I think everywhere in the world right now, big craft independent smaller breweries. And there is this small brewery in Wynwood, a new area in Miami, which is all about art, graffiti. So it's new restaurants, new bars. And they are brewing there. And I got the Pilsner. But it's funny because they say Miami style Pilsner. So Pilsner is not really from Miami as a style of beer. It's more, I think, from Czech Republic than Miami. But it's interesting. It's interesting because it's kind of very deep in flavor. As a Pilsner, it's pretty hoppy. So sometimes the bitterness coming from that hoppiness, it disturbs me a little bit. But yes, this very clean, bitterness, it's very, very pleasant.
So would you say so, obviously, with the hoppiness there, because obviously hops are one of those things you can dial quite a bit, and yeah. I find that sometimes hops, and it's interesting that you put it in a Pilsner, because hops can be very, very crisp if they're balanced. So it kind of makes sense in my mind to put hops in a Pilsner, because Pilsner are quite crisp. But you're right, I think that'd be a tough lever, because it'd be very easy for a hop to carry over into the post-draw, and then instead of getting that clean Pilsner finish, you get that sort of...
You got that right, and I can tell you more. There is not a lot of breweries making Pilsner, because it's a very difficult beer to make. Because you have a malt, you have hops, so you got to blend that, and you got to make a balance, and not getting that bitterness that the hop can bring. But this is very clean, and it is true. You got to control that. Sometimes, for me, an IPA, it's maybe too much for my personal taste, as that hoppiness brings... some dirtiness as well, because of the bitterness. If it goes out pretty quickly, then you get that background bitter that is pleasant. But when it's like too strong, it hurts me a little bit. I'm very sensitive to bitterness. But this, you got some sweetness, some like orange taste as well, some caramel. It's, I like it a little bit more carbonated, but I'm impressed. And the brewery is a Concrete Beach Brewery.
That's a new one to me. I didn't even know how many breweries were in Miami. I should have had some when I was down there in Miami. And I told you
when you were in Miami, let's go around the whole breweries.
That's what happens when I travel too much. If I don't get my my 10 hours of sleep between airplane rides, I get cranky.
Super
cranky. And then Logan has to put up with me. But it's interesting you talk about the IPA, because I think there's a lot of similarities. You know, we're talking about body and strength in a cigar, and I think there's a lot of similarities in IPAs. You know, I found there's quite a few IPAs where they have, you know, they of course measure the bitterness by the IBUs, and yet there's many IPAs that I've had where they've had a very high IBU, which I'm anticipating a bitterness, and yet it's been very, very balanced. And I think, you know, again, bringing it back to tobacco, you can make a full-bodied cigar without sort of knocking you over. It just means that there's a lot of flavors, they're well-rounded, and not one thing is taking over to sort of beat up your palate. And there are IPAs out there like that.
Look at the bitterness in Liga Maestro. It's a very, very pleasant bitterness. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the four tastes. So if I was blending a cigar without bitterness, you're going to miss something. There is a taste that you're missing, and it should be a 360 degrees stimulation and taste. So even the bitterness should be in the blend, but very controlled and balanced, like in a beer for me. You can bring whatever hops you want, whatever bitterness, but up to the moment, it's pleasant, it's good, and it doesn't stay too much in that kind of, you know, getting me drinking another thing and not that beer.
Well, and I think what I like about the Liga Maestro, and certainly and Rob, I think, spoke to this earlier, that a lot of your cigars and your blends, I gravitate towards them as well, because, and you talked a little bit about this, where I'll get a flavor, but that flavor isn't going to dominate through the draw, and then into the post draw, I get a little bit of that flavor, and I get something else, and it's almost like every draw sort of takes you on a little bit of a journey. You get to the post draw, there's something else, but it doesn't just blast your palate. You know, it's there for a moment. You get a little bit of that post draw taste, and then it's gone. It's a, you know, it's, I guess, in a way, a little bit like a Pilsner, where it's a nice crisp finish, and I appreciate that.
I like Pilsner because I can drink a 2, 3, 4. So maybe I can smoke even 3, 4, or 5 Liga Maestro, because it's a kind of same thing.
Yeah.
You got to clean your palate. It is true that you got to stay as well to give you an aftertaste, because if it disappears completely and you don't even remember what you smoked, there is something wrong in that blend. But the final aftertaste, it's maybe the final test as well. But what you're saying right now, I can translate into evolution. Because while you smoke, you get different things every time you're puffing. And that's the evolution in cigar. It's never the same. It's driving you through this journey. And the journey is the aromas, the stimulation, and the things that you can feel in that cigar.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about my first pairing. We had a good chuckle at this offline. So this is a Cuban rum, and I've got two Cuban rums tonight. This is the Santiago de Cuba, the Ron Añejo. Añejo, I think, just means in Spanish aged, and it's not aged for very long. But I was telling Claudio offline that I've had the Ron Añejo 11, and I found that, and I find this sometimes actually with a lot of whiskeys, a lot of scotches, if they're too old, sometimes the wood influence can start to dominate the whiskey and, you know, take away a little bit from the spirit. You can see it's got that sort of nice golden color, which you would expect out of a rum. And, of course, Santiago de Cuba is named after the city where it's made. Founded in 1515, it's pretty much one of the oldest cities in Cuba. If you are unfamiliar with if you're unfamiliar with Cuba, Santiago de Cuba is nowhere near Havana. It's almost 900 kilometers, which would be, 485 miles away from Havana. Basically, the other side of the world. But they founded, they were basically distilling the moment they had cane sugar on the island. And the distillery itself was founded in February of 1862. Now this is 38%, so it's a little bit lower in ABV. And talking again a little bit about strength and body, I think if this were a higher ABV, I think that would be very, very bad, because, you know, this is not I don't want to dismiss the rum. It's just not a super complex rum. So if this was, you know, over 40%, you'd probably get a lot of harsh qualities out of the rum, because it's just not been aged long enough to get rid of those. But it has been aged in oak barrels, and I'm gonna take a little sip here while you continue to talk about your pairing with the Pilsner.
Yes, the Pilsner gets into more sweetness after you drink a little bit more, because you got like a hit by that bitterness in the very beginning. And then the orange pops up, then you got some caramel, and then it stays a little bit more on that caramel taste, which could be a little bit of honey as well. But it gets a little bit, you know, sweet, making you like forgetting the bitterness that you had in the beginning. And I think a little bit about cigars as well. The first puffer could be very spicy in the beginning, and then it turned into more creaminess and more smoothness. And it's this beer is doing a kind of the same thing. And it pairs very well with the Liga Maestro. I'm smoking the Hermoso. It's a Corona Larga, 6x46. And it goes very well. This is a little bit spicy. So the contrast between the spiciness and sweetness is going pretty well.
And I think that's why I was going, well, obviously, I know you enjoy rum, so that's part of the reason I went with rum tonight. But I know that having smoked many mambachos in the past, there is a little bit of, a white pepper. And so I wanted to contrast that a little bit with the sweetness from the rum. And it's an interesting pairing. It's not going to break the bank in terms of complexity because, you know, it is, I would describe it as a very rough rum in a way. You get almost that... cane sugar influence is almost in the forefront of the taste, but it goes well with the cigar in the sense that it counterbalances the pepper, and it's actually bringing out a little bit of cedar from the cigar, which I wasn't getting before, and it doesn't finish very heavy, so I'm not getting a huge mouthfeel from the rum, which is good, because I think if I was, you know, drinking a heavier scotch or something like that, it might dominate my my palate a little too much between draws and take away from the cigar. In this case, they're going well together, and it's not not taking away from the cigar. And really, what more could I ask for in a pairing?
I would put always in the equation of pairing the place and the moment as well. You know, It's very important. I mean, in the finest and oldest smoke shop in downtown Miami, and there is a piece of history of cigars in Miami, and it goes very well with the cigar and the beer because I'm here in this place, and I'm with you. I always enjoy the chat with you about beers and cigars and how you built the houses in Estelí. That was funny.
Thanks very much.
And it makes it more tasty, those things. Because remember, the moment, it's in here as well. Your brain is preparing your palate to receive things because you are relaxing. When you are running, when you are angry, you don't feel the things the same way. Always pick the right moment when you want to pair something, even though you know that it's, Grand Marnier. It could be the most beautiful pairing you ever did in your life because of the moment as well. I would say keep your mind open always for everything.
No, I completely agree. I think, you know, we don't talk a lot about that on when we do a cigar review about how much your environment can influence the smoking. You know, if I'm smoking down in Estelí on a patio somewhere overlooking a beautiful, that's going to totally put my mind at ease, and I'm probably going to be a lot more relaxed than, you know, let's say it's December and there's snow falling and I'm sitting in the patio all huddled up. That's not quite going to be the same smoking experience.
In summer, you are going to drink a beer with a cigar in Canada. Mm-hmm. In winter, you're going to have maybe a single malt. You're not straight because your body wants something different. And talking about those things, for example, a single malt. I want to take that example because the smokiness and peaty taste of a single malt could be a little bit too much maybe. But it always depends if you go pairing a cigar with some spirit or whatever you want, if you go by contrast or if you go by similarity. You can go smoking something sweet and drinking something sweet and it goes very well, or you go by contrast, smoking something spicy. And as I'm doing it now, the beer is pretty sweet, and it goes very well together. That's the way.
And I think, you know, one of the things we've talked about on the show is that, you know, whether you go contrasting or whether you go complementary, I think it is important to match strength with strength. That is, mm-hmm. You know, if I were to bring out, especially with this Liga Maestro, I think if I were to bring out a really heavy peated, like a Lagavulin or a Laphroaig, It might be interesting, but I suspect that the peatiness and the saltiness would probably run over a lot of the nuances in the cigar.
So I agree 100%. Yeah. That's very true. And if I'm smoking something mild in body, I'm going for something mild. For example, a coffee, I don't drink an espresso. I drink a French press coffee because I know that if I smoke, and it should be, you know, not overpowering, but going together pretty well.
Coffee sometimes almost feels like cheating because, you know, so often I can get a French press or I can get a drip or I can get a pour over or even an espresso. And I find, you know, it's just one of those pairings that just, it's just made in heaven. Coffee and cigars, it's almost cheating because they go together so easily, whether it's morning, noon, or night. So
it's always good. So there is something there, like why it's so good every time. But it's true that it's very easy pairing a cigar with a coffee. What I find a little bit more difficult, it's pairing cigars with wine. Mm. Wine, red wine, it gets pretty complicated because of the tannins of the wine, because of the stimulation. And he goes, if I'm drinking a wine with a lot of tannins, I go always with a cigar with some sourness to bring me that saliva that's going to make it a balance, because the tannin in a wine, sometimes it gets your mouth very, very dry. So dry plus dry doesn't work. So I'm trying to work on that way, but you know.
Well, that leads perfectly into an audience question, which I'll get to in just a second here. Remind our audience that you're tuning into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 65, Mambacho, with our special guest and now co-host, Claudio Segroia. Unfortunately, Rob was feeling under the weather, so he had to drop off, and he didn't want to stick around while we enjoyed this wonderful cigar and beverages, because that just wouldn't be fair. Jason Myers actually wants to know, Claudio, do you have any favorite wine and cigar pairings? So talking about wine and cigar pairings, you're saying that red wine can be sometimes tough to pair.
More than, I mean, it's considered wine, but I really love champagne with cigars.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Champagne for a couple of things. First, the deepness of the flavor of champagne and the aftertaste. Because it could be like, yeah, it's a wine, so it's light. It's no. Some champagne has a very impressive long aftertaste. And then the fact that it has bubbles, it cleans your palate. So it never overpowered the cigar, or it never takes the place of the cigar in your tasting. So it's always a very interesting, like how a champagne could be so good with a cigar. And red wines, it gets difficult for me. Because sometimes a red wine, I'm not a big red wine guy. I know, I drink a lot of wines, but I'm more in Roma than wines. So, but champagne is very interesting. I love it. Really love it.
Well, I think the problem, and certainly within my experience, the problem with champagne is that I don't know that a lot of people have had good champagne. You know, the classic, of course, for New Year's is everyone gets their I think it's what the duck wine, and it's just it's a terrible, terrible champagne. It's bitter and it's sour and it's just not pleasant. And that's sort of what a lot of people associate with champagne. But I have had the opportunity to have really good champagne, and it's a completely different experience.
Yeah, so there is maybe too much champagne that it shouldn't be considered a champagne in the world. Mm-hmm. And then we drink that. I mean, it's easy to drink a white wine with bubbles. But the true champagne, I always have fun with Stefano, our distributor in Italy. Now I'm going there for a couple of weeks, going around to show Liga Maestro, and he's a big, big champagne guy. I mean, he drinks only champagne, I should say. And we had some of those pairings that I was like, Stefano, how you found this? That's amazing. And especially when you are driven in the pairing with someone that knows about champagne, it's even more interesting.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot. If you like, for me, you know, my go-to pairing, typically I start with whiskey or scotch because that's what I know. And obviously if he knows champagne, then he's already sort of has this encyclopedia of tastes in his mind, and it's much easier than if you were to go in blind and we, you know, gave him a random bottle of champagne and said, try pairing this. So he doesn't necessarily know how it's going to go, but if he already knows that champagne, makes it a little bit easier in the long run to pair those two together.
I always like to go through wines with someone that knows about that, because it gets complicated, and you know, I love to know more about these things. And many times I've been in touring with winemakers that really taught me many things about taste that sometimes, you know, it's something that I know more and we can understand more about tasting.
So I'm going to get into my second pairing here, one that I know you personally enjoy very much. Now, I know Rob tends to gravitate towards the Florida Kenya 12, but for me, the Florida Kenya 18, That's got a very special place in my heart. Ever since I first went to Nicaragua and had a Florida Kenya, and I had the 7, and I had the 12, and I had the 18, and the 21, and the 25. But the 18 for me strikes that perfect balance between being sort of a rich aged flavor, but not too aged. That is, you don't lose a lot. I do like a little bit of that. The sugar cane, you know, that cane taste to the rum, and I find if you age it for too long, some of that core quality goes away. For me, that 18 is kind of the perfect spot for me. Now, and we were talking offline. This is the old bottle because I've been savoring this. Believe it or not, I haven't gone through the entire thing in a single sitting. And it is, you can see it's darker, a little bit richer than the first one, and that's going to be because of the influence of the cask. It's going to change the color as it ages. I don't think Florida Canyon adds coloring. Have you had a chance to tour the...
I never toured the distillery, but I don't think. And, you know, some coloring, sometimes you can feel in the taste. You can taste that chemical stuff in the back of your throat here that is not harshness. It's something chemical, you know. But I got to say that 18 years old has a sweet spot in my heart as well. Because, you know, living in Nicaragua for now 4 years and a half, 18 has been always my favorite, always, since the very beginning.
Oh, it's just so, it's, I'll talk about the tasting notes in a minute. It's just so balanced. Of course, Florida Canyon dates back to 1890. They first opened San Antonio Sugar Mill in Chichigalpa, Nicaragua, and they didn't do exports until 1959. So they had been distilling for quite a long time before they exported. And they just had their 125th anniversary, so congratulations. So this is the Centenario 18, 40% ABV, and they describe it as a rich entry leading to a viscous, dry, full-bodied palate with dark chocolate, caramel, roasted nuts, brown spice flavor, finishing with a long charred oak, vanilla, and burnt nut fade. That's a lot of notes to sort of for me to chew through, but I think one of the things that I pick up right away is that the 12 and the 18 has this deep, rich, fruity quality to it. It's almost like if you take a melon and you sort of fresh cut a melon, that smell permeates the room and you can smell that fresh melon's been cut. And to me, that's what I always get when I nose the Florida Canyon, whether it's the 12 or the 18. And I'm going to take a couple sips here. Maybe you can talk about sort of what you enjoy about the Florida Canyon rum.
Now that you're smoking the Liga Maestro with the 18, I did a couple of tests on the blends of Liga Maestro before to put in production with the different roms. Because we know we want to enjoy it with rum as well. And Florida Canyon is getting pretty famous and distributed in different countries. So I was like, okay, let's do a 7, 12, 18, and 25 years old. Because there is a 25 years old as well that I think is distributed only in duty-free in the airports. So we got that, and for me, you can really feel the power of the soil of Nicaragua in the Liga Maestro and in the Florida Caña. The power of the aromas, it's so strong, but at the same time, so balanced that it's impressive how such a strong feeling in your mouth could be very elegant. And the 18 years old is very, very elegant. And that spiciness of the Liga Maestro in the very beginning goes with the sweetness of sugar cane that you can find in the 18 years old. It's not a lot, but just a little bit. And that's, for me, impressive. And then we got the sourness of the Liga Maestro, bringing some saliva. And then, as they said as well, some dryness of the Florida Caña. So you're matching perfectly, balancing your mouth between the two different things.
And I can tell you that these two, I may not move on to my third pairing because these two go brilliantly together. I'm getting a lot of almost a dark chocolate bitterness out of the Liga Maestro now that I wasn't getting before. And you're right, there is, I don't know if I would qualify it as an oaky dryness, but there is a drying quality. So it's almost intentional because it makes me want to go back to the Florida Canyon and take another sip. It doesn't finish like the first rum where it was a very wet mouthfeel and my mouth was sort of satiated. Now when I take a sip and I take a puff, I want to immediately go back to the rum and have another sip. And that's an easy way for me to go through a bottle of 18-year-old very quickly.
I got a funny story for you. I use a Secco in our blend that is from Condega. And, you know, when we try the little cigar 100% Secco, just to understand what's going on, the Secco is very dry. So your mouth gets so dry that you need to drink. And I always said that the day I open a bar, I'm going to make a 100% cigar with that Secco because you need to drink more.
but it makes sense. I mean, you know, obviously when you talk about other places that serve food, in their mind, they must be taking that into account because they know if, you know, put a little bit of saltiness in there or put a little bit of dryness in there, it's going to make you want to drink that beverage more. And I don't know if they do that at Florida Canyon on purpose with the 18-year-old, but it does sort of work that way naturally for sure.
It's a beautiful aroma. The only thing that I discovered in the new bottles that I bought recently in Nicaragua is getting a little bit more smoky, a little bit more peaty. So I don't know if it's because of the casks that they are using now, or I don't know if they changed the blend. I don't know, but I felt a little bit more smokiness. It is not something, wow, what a change. It's not the same one. No. It's always 18 years old. That's unforgettable, okay? But I got that note of smokiness that at the end I said, you know what? It's not bad.
Well, you know, that's I definitely gravitate towards smoky in my whiskey. I mean, I drink everything, but I think it would be really interesting to try the new Florida Canyon. Obviously, I'm going to have to pick some up either here in Canada, where the rum is not necessarily as cheap as going to Nicaragua, but I don't know if I can wait until the next time I go, so I might have to go down to my local shop and find the latest release and compare, and maybe do a show here where we compare the two. But I'm going to get into some more audience questions here, Claudio, because we do have quite a few. Jeff Madre has a question here. He wants to know, can you suggest some pairings for the Classico and the Corto that you would typically gravitate towards?
Oh, that's nice. With a Classico, go for a rum. Not very harsh, not very strong, like a 38% alcohol rum. That's very refined, very good. With a Corto, go with a stronger mojito at a happy hour. Mm. That's a perfect size of, 45 minutes of smoking before I go for dinner. That's a perfect thing, and it goes very well with some refreshing cocktail as well, if you want to talk about cocktails. Otherwise, you can go for some cognac. Cognac is good because it has some sweetness, and the Corto has some very pronounced spiciness. So you go with cognac, it's very good. And I'm not scared to say that I drink cognac with ice as well. So a good cognac on ice with Corto, and a good Roma with a Classico.
Well, talking about the different rum cocktails, I think, there are some magical rum cocktails, and if you can get a cocktail that sort of combines, because one of the cocktails I like, for example, is an Old Fashioned, and it brings three or four different flavors together. You get saltiness, you get bitterness, you get sweetness. And if you can combine a number of those together in balance, it creates a pretty magical experience. And I think in a way, a lot of cocktails pair better with cigars because they have so much of those qualities, but none of them are very dominant. There's just a little hint of this and a little hint of that. And for me, cocktails, and we've done a cocktail show, but cocktails go really well with cigars, provided the cocktail itself is very balanced.
There is a few cocktails that I drink. And I mean, mojito is pretty good. And yeah, living in Miami as well, I learned how to drink mojitos. But I always go for some straight alcohol. Like I like a gin, And sometimes a good cigar with a good gin is very, very good. I rediscovered what's his name? Hendrix.
Oh, okay.
That's a very, very flavorful gin for me. So sometimes I enjoy a little bit, just a little shot, because gin could be very, very strong in your mouth, a little bit harsh as well, but that gin is pretty good. And then for me, it's just discovering it. Every time I try something with something that I didn't try before, now I'm like, okay, let's go for that.
I think, really that's kind of the fun, and part of the reason we started the show is that the pairing experience, even if it's not a great pairing, it's a fun experience to go through that and try something with something else. Even if it's a bad experience or, poor experience, it's still fun to go through that, because I think ultimately, like your friend with the pairing, my brain is completely blanked on rum.
Keep drinking rum. Maybe.
Yeah, keep drinking rum. Pairing different champagnes, if you don't try it, you're not going to know whether it goes. Yeah. Even if you run across a poor one, right. I'm sure he's come across many, many ones that are poor, but he's probably come along an equal number that are excellent. And without trying it, you're not going to find those.
Blending, I keep a very high my curiosity. I cannot say, okay, Jalapa is the best wrapper in the world, I use only that one. Or this filler from here is the best one. No. I got to keep my curiosity very high. And as I do that blending, I do pairing cigars with whatever I have in front of me. Sometimes I go pretty different in kind of things. Like there is a lemon, a natural lemonade in Italy that is called the Cedrata. Mm. And it's a particular, like a big, huge lemon. And that's with cigars, man, it's awesome. And I was like, no, don't drink smoking cigar with sodas. I'm like, yes, with that, yes.
I'm going to get into one more audience question before we take our next break here. It's a good question from Douglas Shepard, and it's an interesting one. He says, what ruins a pairing experience for you more, when the cigar overpowers the drink or when the drink overpowers the cigar?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm smoking a cigar that I don't care, I go for an alcohol very strong because I don't care of the cigar. So I won't enjoy that, but just having some puff on a cigar. But if the cigar is overpowering, it's difficult having a cigar that overpowers an alcohol. If it's like a spirit, like a 40% alcohol, it's pretty difficult to have a cigar that you taste only the cigar, you don't taste a single malt of rum. So the problem is when the cigar is too mild. So yeah. It's not really a cigar too much overpowering an alcohol. Because again, on champagne maybe, but I don't think a cigar could really overpowering a spirit.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I think, like you said, unless you get into a really full-bodied red wine or a really mm-hmm. peated whiskey, most of the time the strength of the spirit shouldn't overpower the cigar unless you are, you know, smoking something that's Connecticut shade and it's very light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think for me, I would say that it's probably worse for the spirit over the beverage to overpower the cigar, because ultimately I'm going to be smoking first. And if I'm pairing, you know, I'm looking to enhance the flavor of the cigars rather than the flavor of the spirit, I think, for me.
Yes, that's true. I agree.
Thanks for your question, Douglas. So just a reminder to audience, you're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 65, Mambacho, with our co-host, Claudio. Guest, co-host. We are heard around the world on podcast around the world. Thanks very much, everyone who's tuning in live and everyone who's listening after the fact on podcast. We're doing some pairings. Claudio's pairing a delicious beer, a Miami-style Pilsner, whatever that means.
Yeah, that's funny. Let's see this again. Miami-style Pilsner. And again, it's a small brewery here in Miami. And an impressive job of this Pilsner. As I said in the beginning, I really like the crispiness of a Pilsner, but sometimes the bitterness can disturb a little bit of my taste. But this is pretty clean and smooth and creamy. So it's very good, very good.
Well, I'm going to get into my last pairing here. And I think I know that you are a lover of rum, and this is one that I think you need to add to your collection. This is a rum that typically I can only get when I go to Cuba. This is the Selection of Maestro. What's interesting about this is they take sort of, or at least they claim, so you can never know because there's always a bit of romance to the story, but they say that they take the exceptional rums from what Havana Club has made. They take those, they vat those together, they re-barrel them, so second barreling to re-age them, and then they take the best of that batch and they put them through a third barrel. And they come out with a spirit that's 45%. I can tell you I've had it many, many times. And this is the first time I've brought a bottle back because I always forget. And I'm overloaded with other things when I come back. And this is the first time I've come back with a Selection of Maestro. But I would describe this as almost a rum for whiskey drinkers because it is very complex and very nuanced. Taking a nose of it, you get just a ton of fruit, tropical fruit. And there is some... almost a cedar quality to it, but it's very rich. It's very complex. So it's not a sessionable rum like the first rum where you just, you know, have a drink and you just drink it down. You wouldn't think much of it. To me, this one's a little bit more complex. I think you would really, really enjoy this rum.
I'm a little bit jealous because I never had that rum and I really like, smoothness and that kind of notes you describe. The only thing that I don't like in rums, there is not a protocol. So when you put the year on a bottle, doesn't mean that all the rums are 25, yep. 20, 18, 12 years old. It's not like a single malt. You can put the year on the single malt because, you know, it's one cask or whatever. It has been aged for those years. Rum, maybe you can put one drop of 125 years old that you can call it 125 years old.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am coming down to the... IPCPR in Las Vegas, Claudio, and I am bringing some spirits with me, so I think I will probably have to set some space aside to bring a couple samples of this Maestro, because I think you, being the Maestro, I think you would very much enjoy this, and I would be happy to share this with you down in Las Vegas.
And I will bring Flor de Caña 25 years old, which is a very, very different of all the Flor de Caña you had so far.
I think I'd be getting the better end of that deal, but I will take it.
And of course, I will bring some cigar as well.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So I'm going to get some more to Audney's questions here as I sip on this rum. And just talking about the rum, this rum is actually enhancing the cigar significantly. I'm getting a lot of fruit quality out of the rum. And it's interesting because you talk about vatting, three vattings of a rum, you'd think it'd be very mild. But it is a very, talking about full-bodied, it is a very full-bodied rum without overpowering your palate, but it's very tropical. So when I sip it, I get a ton of tropical fruit, which I wasn't getting out of the Santiago de Cuba. And I'm not, you know, I do get out of the Flor de Caña, but I'm getting a lot more out of this rum. So hopping into the audience questions, because we do have some audience questions here. So first of all, we're going to go, and I'm just scrolling down here, to Harley Holmes. Harley wants to congratulate you on your 10-year anniversary, and he wants to know, why did you choose not to mix tobaccos from the different lines, and why did you change that up for the 10th anniversary? That's kind of a more cigar chat question, but...
Okay, the rule of the factory was not mixing cigars that we use for Mombacho, Tierra Volcana, tobaccos for Mombacho and Tierra Volcana, and tobaccos for Liga Maestro. But for our 10th anniversary, we made a cigar that is called Magnifico, that he has both for the first time and the only time. So we are not duplicating that as well. But it's a kind of giving a personality and a character to a specific line and not mixing it with another one. Because my goal is to give you different experiences. They can go from the core to the classical in that particular character of cigar. And then the Liga Maestro, if you like more spiciness, if you like more sugar cane or a little bit more body, you go, of course, for the Liga Maestro. So it's really showing what Mombacho can do in different ways. And then it's up to you to find the way that you enjoy more through the different cigars that we are making. It's very difficult because, you know, using a certain amount of tobacco, sometimes you can say, okay, that Seco, that Ligero is very good. Let's use it for all the lines. No, we did really want to differentiate the experiences because remember, it's all about the experience. Mm-hmm. So Classico, the Corto, the Grande, the Fino. Oh, the Fino, it's a Tierra Volcana Fino 6x44. Man, that's good, huh? I think yeah, you like it.
We absolutely love that. We've talked about it on the show many, many times. That was a really great experience, and pairing that at the event was a fantastic experience. I've got a really good question here from Eric Johnson, and you might find this really interesting. He says he enjoyed your last cigar chat. Thanks very much for being on the show. And he's impressed by how articulate you are when you talk about cigar flavors. Can you talk about your all-time favorite pairing?
Oh, that's back a couple of years ago that I twisted the Liga Maestro blend and I paired it with a Flor de Caña 18 years old. Mm. So that was pretty spectacular because it was a different wrapper. So it was changing a lot, if you want. Okay. And that wrapper had some taste that it went so good with 18 years old that I was just about to say, okay, let's use this wrapper. But then I said, yeah, but that's maybe too much of my personal taste. So yeah. We stayed with the wrapper we are using. But that was pretty spectacular. And it was a 6x46. And it was 100% tobaccos from Nicaragua. And that night I was drinking 18 years old. Yeah, I remember that. 2 years ago.
I have a lot of pairings, but I think the now that you talk about the Fino, what was the and I've forgotten because it's been a year now, but the beverage we got to pair with, it was that cognac? They did a very special pairing with I can't remember the spirit that was at that event.
Oh, yes. Good call. Last year was the 250th anniversary of Hennessy. Mm-hmm. So Hennessy made a special cognac, and we have been the only cigar chosen in the world to have that label of Hennessy 250th anniversary on our cigar, that it was paired with the cognac. So we had this spectacular dinner last year at the IPCPR, where we have been so fortunate to open the one out of 10 bottles opened in the United States, the entire United States for the entire year. And we were there smoking the fino and drinking that cognac. That was awesome. You remember that passion there?
That was magical. That was probably one of the pairing experiences that definitely stands out in my mind for me. I know Rob and I talk about it all the time.
as we are talking, you know, go through a pairing with someone that knows a little bit more about that. The head ambassador of Hennessy was there, and he drove us through the tasting notes, and it was just magical to smoke that fino with that cognac.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was obviously beyond the fact that it's probably an experience I'll never have again. It was an experience that just went beautifully together, and I mean, it could have not paired well together, but it worked out very well. And I think everyone was even there were people there that had never had a cognac before, and they were very, very impressed with the cognac and very much enjoyed the pairing. Sure.
I mean, I was personally impressed from the fact that the Hennessy picked us again, you know, to have a partnership like that, because 250 years is not every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we worked together since a long time, and I was very impressed. And I didn't try the cognac and the fino before that night. That was my first time. I thought only 10 bottles opened in the United States. And one out of 10 was that night. So
I'm glad I had the opportunity to be there, because I don't think I'll see those other 9 bottles ever. So I'm going to, we've got a question here from Garen, because we're coming up to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment. And this is a really interesting question. He says he normally pairs strictly with water, and I certainly only go with water when I'm doing a cigar review to keep my palate fresh. But he wants to know, when you're in blending mode, what do you typically do to keep your palate fresh, to keep your palate clean?
Yes, a sparkling water.
Sparkling water.
Natural sparkling water. It's the bubbles cleans a lot. So every time that I'm trying a blend or a new blend or tweaking a blend or there is some work to do on that blend, I always drink a sparkling water. Not tonic water, nothing about that. Just natural sparkling water. It cleans a lot.
And if I understand correctly, because I've heard this from other blenders, it's the effervescence, the carbonation that really
yep.
refreshes your palate. Is that right?
It refreshes, it cleans, so you get back after a couple of sips to a clean palate, and you can you know, you can really pick all differences and having always the palate very, very clean. Because sometimes we try a lot of blends and then.
A lot of them.
So we gotta clean them.
I honestly, I don't know how you can go through, because for me, you know, when I do, because I'm only doing a single review in a day, and I typically have to spend a lot of time focusing on one time of the day I'm going to smoke that cigar to make sure that food isn't interfering or beverage isn't interfering. And I can't imagine going through multiple puros in a day to taste the individual tobaccos and then repeating that experience throughout the day and keeping the palate fresh. That's got to be challenging.
It is challenging, but there is one thing. When you know very well what you're cooking, you know your ingredients, mm-hmm. so you really recognize after 1 second if something is wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a good team at the factory as well, and I always love a lot to smoke with them. So even them, they can say, yeah, I feel this, I feel that. But the mineral water, sparkling water, that's one little secret that it helps a lot. And I do that every time.
Perfect. Well, I can say, because we're coming up to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment, I very much enjoyed the Florida Canyon 18. I think that is a no-brainer choice with the Liga Maestro. I would also recommend the Florida Canyon 12 because I think it's a little bit more available for a lot of people out there and a little bit more affordable. But if you have the opportunity to get your hands on the selection of Maestro, this is absolutely my favorite pairing of the night. This highlights the cigar brilliantly. The cigar doesn't run over the rum. The rum pretty much showcases every flavor in the cigar, and this is kind of what I was hoping for with this pairing, and it's delivered in spades, so I'm very, very happy.
That's awesome. And I would say that the Liga Maestro, it's a cigar that has a special evolution, so you can pair that with a lot of different things and always having fun with that pairing.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much, Claudio, and thanks for all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners who are out there in the world. We hope you are staying safe wherever you're stationed, and appreciate you checking into our segment. We'll be back next week. I don't even know what show we've got on next week. Oh, actually, we're going to be doing tea. Logan will be back from India, so we'll be doing some tea pairing. Make sure to check that out, and check out our cigar chat. The next one we'll have on is tomorrow night. I'm John, the Cigar Surgeon, and as I always say, drink better, but drink less.
It's smoke better.
Smoke better. So that's the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment. We're still live. So everyone can still hear us. Everyone can still see us. This is a really great. I'm surprised I haven't had the chance to smoke this before. This is a really, really good cigar. I think Rob and I are probably going to have to revisit this and maybe break out a couple different funky pairings. Because I think, you know, as I smoke this, I think this would go really well with a porter, or even a smoked beer might be really interesting with this.
That's interesting, because as I said, the versatility of the tobaccos in Nicaragua, something special, and it give me the opportunity to blend cigars so that they have a different profile. So when you get to that uniqueness in a cigar, you can pair it with a lot of different things, and you will be always enjoying that. And I really found that the Liga Maestro, it's pretty different. You know, we make only 100% Nicaraguan puros at the factory, and we have already different lines and different sizes. But why we want to keep 100% Nicaraguan tobaccos? For that reason, like the sugar cane in Liga Maestro, how many times have you felt that particular sugar cane taste in other cigars? Mm-hmm. You know, it's we should stop saying Nicaraguan cigars, the spice is strong. No. It's not the case. And by the way, if you want to have a true Nicaraguan experience, you should smoke 100% puros.
Yeah, try the different tobaccos. Absolutely. Well, I think there's, and I know because I'm now in the cigar industry. Part of my life change is now I'm a general manager for a cigar chain. And I think one of the interesting things is talking with people who've never had a Nicaraguan cigar before. And I think there is perhaps a mentality out there of, in the past, that people have tried Nicaraguan cigars and found them very, and I don't want to say one note, but found them very strong or found them, you know, very earthy and not found them very dynamic. And I'd say certainly in the time that I've been reviewing cigars in 5 or 6 years, I think the Nicaraguan, it's not the tobacco itself, but I think the way that people have been using the tobacco has evolved. And I think the complexity and the nuances that are within Nicaraguan tobacco is really changing the face of what people come to expect out of a Nicaraguan cigar. And I think, you know, that's good for the Nicaraguan tobacco industry, obviously, but good for people like you who are blending Nicaraguan cigars. I think it's good to expand that profile.
We are very lucky. And again, this beautiness of the tobaccos in Nicaragua allows even a lot of factories in Dominican Republic, in Honduras, to blend, tobaccos from Nicaragua. Because today there is a lot of tobacco from Nicaragua going to other countries and a lot of blends that incorporate that tobacco. Why? Because it blends very well with everything. That's the secret, you know. So you can put the leaf of Nicaraguan cigar in whatever cigar you want. It's going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I think one of the fun things that Rob and I'll have to do in future shows when Rob has his taste buds back and he's healthy is I think it'll be interesting to take the Liga Maestro and run it through. I honestly think I could actually pair this with a couple of IPAs that aren't very hoppy. And I think it would still stand up. I think it would pair well. So I think in our upcoming shows, we're going to have to experiment a little and get a little crazy with our pairings and see what we can find.
I know you love a lot of beers and all those things, but try with champagne again.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome. Because there is some subtlety in the flavors of Liga Maestro that you will find in a good champagne. Don't buy the mainstream champagne. Buy a little brand from France, from Champagne. And get maybe some tip from some guy working at the wine shop, and you would be very, very surprised.
Well, one of the things that I've gotten into really within maybe the last 6 or 8 months is port. And I've discovered that, of course, port, there's a wide range of different styles of ports. And I found that, of course, as it always seems to go, my taste has gravitated towards the sort of vintage bottle port because there's just so much complexity to it. And, you know, between different vintages, you can get just a huge different range of flavor profiles. The only problem, of course, is that when you crack a port, kind of like cracking a bottle of wine, you have a very limited time in which you can enjoy it. So it's tough to have a show where, you know, I open up 3 bottles of port and do a pairing show.
And then you got to fish them.
And that's not really conducive to talking intelligently on an hour-long show when we're drinking an entire bottle of port.
I think up to the moment you are drinking something alive, that he has a life in that bottle, it's going to be good. take the wine champagne, take all this very old Rome. For me, they are still, you know, alive. They have something to tell to you. And same thing with the cigar. Keep the cigar at the right humidity, the right temperature. It's going to tell you a story because he has that story inside, you know, what we did to blend it and the tobaccos and everything. And for me, it's very important to keep a high, I don't want to say the standard of spirits or pairing that we do, but just go for things that, you know, they are craft or made by good winemakers, good distilleries, and then you're going to have fun, you know. Don't buy a cheap gallon of Scotch whiskey at $3 the gallon because it's not going to be good even with the most expensive cigar or aged cigar in the world.
Yeah, I agree. So, Claudio, thanks very much for being on Sharing Our Pairings. I'm sure we're going to have you on again in a future episode. I'm very much looking forward to the IPCPR. I don't know if Rob's told you, but we've worked very hard this year to balance out the amount of work we're going to be doing. So we're going to be available when the show closes at 5 o'clock. We've structured our evenings now that we're going to be out and socializing. So I'm very much looking forward to having a rum and a Mombacho cigar with you and talking about pairings down in Vegas.
Jada, thank you so much. And thanks to everyone watching the show. And watch out for Mombacho in Vegas, because last year we had the 250 years of Cognac of Hennessy. This year there is something pretty special coming. So don't miss that.
Oh, there we go. Breaking news. So you know, if Rob and I get an invite, that we wouldn't miss it for the world, especially after that special event you guys threw in New Orleans. We wouldn't miss that for the world.
Friendship is part of the taste. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, Claudio. And thanks again for our live listeners who have tuned in for our show. If you have a comment for the show, you can email me, surgeon@cigarfederation.com. You can email rob@cigarfederation.com. We appreciate your comments and feedback. And make sure to check us out next week. We're going to be using some tea pairing for all the people out there who maybe want to try something non-alcoholic. As we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less. Thanks, Claudio.